surrounded by the scrappy bastards we are.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to tonight's stream. It is, of course, the Patriotic Alternative monthly update for the month of April. And we are live tonight on Odyssey, we are live on DLive, and we are live on RadioAlbion.com. And boy, do we have a show for you. Do we have a lot to get through? Do we have a lot of interesting things to discuss and relay to you? Because it has been one hell of a roller coaster of a month. Now, If you're watching tonight and you want to put over your point of view, if you want to ask a question, or if you just want to contribute to the work we're doing at Patriotic Alternative, the largest ethno-nationalist organization in the whole of the UK, you can do so. You can contribute via Odyssey or via Entropy. The links to Entropy are in the chat. And if you're watching on Odyssey, you can hit that support button. And that support button allows you to send paid donations. Any paid donations sent tonight, we will read out your questions or comments live on tonight's stream. You can ask myself and Laura about any of the events that we're discussing, or you can ask us about future plans or just leave a donation. Now, I always say this, but everyone just gave $3 or $5. We have hundreds, thousands of people will watch this stream in total. $3 or $5 from everyone wouldn't be noticed by them, but would make a huge difference to us. You can also donate via cryptocurrency. All the crypto links are in the description below. And finally, you can write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com or contact us as an organization through our website, which is at www.patrioticalternative.org.uk. So we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about demonstrations, recent elections, introduce you to some new regional organizers, tell you about new regional groups we've started, and also talk about some major successes we've been having behind the scenes. There's a lot to say. But I'm going to start by saying hello to the lovely Laura Towler. How are you doing, my dear? It's good to be here with you tonight. How have you been?
Hi. I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm a bit tired. My daughter is sleeping even worse than usual, if that was possible. But I'm looking forward to the stream. And April was just an absolutely crazy month. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it was the best month we've ever had. Everything went our way, because it didn't. We definitely had highs and lows in April. But I feel like we got through it, and it maybe took us about 2 weeks to sort everything out. We're at the other side now, and I would say that we're actually in a stronger position now than we were a month ago or 2 months ago. And we'll get into that obviously in a bit more later. But yeah, it feels good now. I feel like everyone's, you know, happy again. We've had two regional organizer calls since the resignations, and they're probably the best RO calls we've ever had. Everyone's just really enthusiastic and optimistic and positive. We're all singing from the same sheet, shall we say. So yeah, positive changes, and we're going to tell you everything that's happening, so we'll get into it.
Okay, well, let's start with what you just saw, because you have just seen a massive demonstration, another PA win, this time in Long Eaton. But that's only the tip of the iceberg, because on that particular Sunday, St. George's Day, we had a lot going on. And it wasn't just protests we were up to. And some of you might be saying, I saw a lot of people speaking at that protest, and Laura spoke, Sam spoke, our regional organizer from the Northeast, Stephen spoke, Big Joe Marsh was there, you couldn't miss him, he spoke. But where was Mark Collett? Well, I will tell you where I was in a few moments. But Laura, it's only fair to throw it over to you, because you helped pull together an amazing event in Long Eaton. You were there. There was a bit of a battle. Tell everyone about it. Tell everyone how well it went. And also tell people what you were asked to do after the event, because this didn't just turn out as one demo in one day. It turned out as two demos. Fill everyone in and let's discuss this for a while.
Yeah, I've just sent you some pictures of the second demo if you want to get them up to share with everyone, because that's a really positive move and a positive connection that we've created there in Long Eaton. But yeah, Long Eaton was a strange one, because it was organised by the previous regional organiser, who obviously resigned. So he initiated the demo, and then I think it was about a week before the demo started, he left the chat for the demo, and we were like, okay, well, that's booked in Patriotic Alternative's name. We can't have the public turning up for the demonstration and we just leave them. So we took over it. Myself and Sam went down, Joe from Wales and Stephen from the Northeast, and there were a number of activists from the East Midlands who still went. And we had this demo. I mean, it was a really good demo, and it was exciting, and it was really fun. But the problem that we had was the police liaison officer that we were speaking to before, and we were saying, you know, this is where we want to stand. 2 days before the demo, he just disappeared. And we got there on the day, and they'd given us like this sort of junior police officer to sort everything out. And he just didn't have a clue what he was doing. And they were so unprepared for the amount of people that were there. Some people have said to me, do you think they did it on purpose? He genuinely didn't seem like he had a clue what he was doing. So what they ended up doing was, we still stayed on the square where we were supposed to be. There was no way that we were going to leave that. But they asked us to have our backs to the wall, and they used two police fans to like go at the sides of us, and then they stood as a row in front of us. So there was about maybe 40 of us stood there surrounded by like two police vans and then the police, and then all the reds and, you know, the anti-whites and that lot were in front of them. The problem that we had there was it meant that the public weren't able to reach us. So if you look at the video, you can see like it's like an Antifa sandwich where like the public, you know, the decent people are like round the sides and round the back. Most people didn't dare push through, but those who did dare to push through all the reds and try and push through the police to get to us, some of them got through and some of them were declined. So unfortunately, on the video, it does look like there are more than them, but I promise you, there weren't. The guys who did the leafleting beforehand did a really good job. Obviously, we advertised it on our mailing list and we definitely had the bigger turnout on the day. We spent the start of the day just throwing some abuse and a bit of banter back and forwards with the Reds, but we quickly drew a line under that and we were like, okay, we're here for a serious reason. And then we addressed the public regarding the issues, why we were there. And it was one of those situations where it didn't really turn out like we thought it would. The speech that I wrote, I had to adapt it a lot to deal with the situation on the day. But that's what you do. You know, that's a professional thing to do. Sometimes something is thrown at you that you don't quite expect. You've got to adapt. You've got to deal with it. And I'm really proud of everyone who got up on that stage and everyone who stood alongside us as well. I mean, there were elderly ladies who pushed through the Reds and pushed through the police with their St. George's Cross flags to come and stand with us. And it was a really good day. And, you know, we got some really good content. We had some really good speeches. We got a lot of new people sign up to Patriotic Alternative. And it was a good one. And then afterwards, we were invited to a demonstration with a group called Save Kegworth, who also have a migrant hotel in their area as well. They invited us along. We went to their protest with them and attended their protest. these are some pictures of them. It was interesting because it was a group of ladies, these ladies here, who had organised that. They decided to, it always seems to be women who were heading up these local demos. It was the same in Linton-on-Ouse and Hull as well. And then in Kegworth here, but they were just absolutely lovely. And afterwards, you know, we were all in the pub together having a drink and just chatting away, swapped some leaflets and business cards and that kind of thing. And we're looking forward to seeing them again. So yeah, it was a really good demonstration. The speeches were really good. Stephen and Joe gave their first speeches and they were both absolutely fantastic. So that was it. I don't know if you've got any questions or anything that you want to say about it, Mark.
Well, I don't have a lot of questions because I obviously wasn't there. And people might think, well, why wasn't Mark there on the day? And that is basically because I was away and I was doing a podcast. And I was invited down to London to do a podcast called The Domino Effect. Now, I'm going to show you this. This is us up on YouTube now, so I'm just going to share the screen again. 2 seconds. Here it is. This is The Domino Effect, and it's a podcast run by a couple of black chaps that you can see here when it pops up. There's me speaking to them. I can't find the bit where you can actually see them. But anyway, I went down to London to speak to them. That was booked months in advance of the actual demonstration. So I didn't actually miss out on the demonstration to go and do that. But it's been seen 7,500 times on YouTube. The response has been overwhelmingly positive. I've had people from all over the world messaging me and writing to me saying, I've seen that and you're a totally reasonable guy. And I never thought white nationalists had such reasonable views. And I think it's really, really important that we do these outreaches as well. I love doing the demos. If I could have been at both, I absolutely would have done. And I'd have loved to have met the ladies from Kegworth as well. But I think this shows that we're really growing as an organization. We can manage to do multiple high profile events on the same day. So to basically have an event like that in Kegworth, preceded by the event in Long Eaton on the same day when we have a major media appearance, which has been seen by thousands and thousands of people and has been overwhelmingly received in an overwhelmingly positive manner. That is absolutely fantastic. And that's what we're aiming for, because remember, The whole point of Patriotic Alternative was to create a nationalist community that could advocate for themselves in the ways they saw fit. Now, we're going to get on to other more sort of salacious bits and bobs later on. But what I want to make clear, and I think this really needs underlining, when we started Patriotic Alternative, we said this was a community-based movement, and our primary goal was to build a nationalist community. Now, that nationalist community was intended to be a way for people to come out, meet one another, make friends, socialize, gather together, and then advocate for our collective rights. And there are multiple ways to advocate for our collective rights. And I do think that we should be a political party. I would like to stand in certain elections, but I don't think elections are the be all and end all. And I know that many nationalists don't want to stand in elections. I know many nationalists want to advocate for their rights in other ways. I also don't think every single person who is a nationalist has to be face out. I don't think every person who's a nationalist has to use their real name and dox themselves. I think all those things aren't really a one-size-fits-all approach. And obviously, some people have decided to leave Patriotic Alternative based on the fact that they think the only way forward is to be a solely electoral movement. And also, they believe that everyone involved in their group should dox themselves, be completely face out, use their real names, and put themselves on the line like that. Now, that was never the intention of Patriotic Alternative. In an ideal world, I would love everybody out there to be able to use their real name, to put their face to things, but that's not feasible. There are many people who have sensitive jobs. There are many people who live in areas where if they put their name and their face out there, they may face violence. They may face, some kind of retribution. And I also don't think elections are the only way forward. And I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to be talking very soon because coincidentally, it was the local elections yesterday, and nationalists stood all over the country, and the results were pretty poor. Now, we've got a lot of positive things to speak about tonight, and we've got a bit of a running order. But as I'm already talking about the elections, shall we segue straight into that, Laura? Do you want me to just get the elections bit out of the way?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, shall I let people know what we've been doing, or do you want to maybe get some
pictures? Yeah, let's start about what we've been doing for these elections. Because some people have been saying, Patriotic Alternative, they don't want to do electioneering, they don't want to fight elections. Oh, they're giving up. Not true at all. Laura, why don't you give everyone a rundown of just how much electioneering we've been doing over the last month?
Yeah, so we do this at every election opportunity. You know, it's not like we've just done it for the first time now. But for these elections, we campaigned in the Northwest, Yorkshire, the East Mids, and Eastern. I think those were the four regions that we did, but multiple times in some of those regions. I mean, the Northwest, bloody hell, they delivered 8,000 leaflets for a candidate. So we've supported candidates who were either independent or who work with the English Democrats or who work with the British Democrats. And Patriotic Alternative has a really great relationship with those two political parties. We've helped them before. I think it was maybe 2 years ago now that I went out leafleting for Jim Luthwaite of the British Democrats. I've been out leafleting for Mark Cotterill before when he stood as an independent. We've been doing this, you know, since the start for 3.5 years. We also have a bid submitted with the Electoral Commission to be a political party. Again, we've had that since the start. It's been really difficult to get through. I mean, there are times when they've said something. We had a meeting with them and we said to them, all right, but you've changed your mind about that. You were saying this before. And then they just go, yeah, we can change our mind. And it's like, they're just making it so difficult for us to get through. But it is something that we're still pursuing and we will still be pursuing. And in the future, hopefully we'll have people standing in local elections under the name Patriotic Alternative. However, in the meantime, there's a lot of other things that we've been doing. We had the opportunity for our activists to stand, was it the mayoral elections under the English Democrats this year, Mark? Robin Tilbrook offered to financially support our activists in PA to stand in those elections. And also we'd give our manpower and our training to support them. However, nobody came forward saying that they wanted to do it. So, you know, despite this, Mark and Laura are not allowing us to do elections. There have been opportunities and no one's chosen to do it. Being completely honest and saying what I've said over the last 3 years, I don't have much faith in the electoral system at all. I don't think it should be the primary thing that we're pursuing. However, any avenue that lays in front of us, we should take that opportunity and we should at least try. So, yeah, we should continue to fight the electoral route, but it shouldn't be our number one focus. It never has been our number one focus, and it's not going to be our number one focus. But yeah, we had, I kind of went off on one then, we had activists out across four regions delivering leaflets and campaigning for other parties. And, you know, it's really great work for our activists to do that, because PA doesn't get anything for that. We're doing that to help other organisations because their message is what's more important than our organisation. So we'll go out and help someone from the British Democrats to campaign, even though that doesn't reflect on Patriotic Alternative. We don't get anything out of that. But the guy's a good guy and he's a nationalist. So if he gets in, it helps our people as a whole. And that's something that we're going to continue to do. So we want to strengthen relationships with other parties and work with more parties going forward.
So let me just do a quick rundown of what Laura's said for people who want to stir rubbish or want to misrepresent us. Firstly, people said we didn't want to have anything to do with elections. We did. Four of our regions have spent the last month electioneering, going out, delivering election leaflets, helping other parties. We have electioneered in the past at both parliamentary elections and at local council elections. People who say we don't do that, they are lying. Secondly, we want to be a political party. We haven't been allowed to be a political party thanks to the Electoral Commission, who I believe are unlawfully holding us up. Thirdly, we did put an offer on the table for people in our party to stand under other banners and be supported by our people on the ground. And finally, and most importantly, at this round of elections, we have, as in our activists, have delivered well in excess, well, somewhere between 10 and 20,000 leaflets, maybe more, for political parties, at least two different political parties, and for nationalist independents. Anybody that comes to us and is standing on an anti-immigration platform, we assist them with their electioneering. I can't be clearer about that. So not only do we do all that, but we do it in the name of nationalist unity. Now, some of these people who now don't like PA and have broken off for us, they will not be helping other groups. They will not be working in the spirit of nationalist unity. We are. I don't want to go to war with people. I want to sit around a table with them. I want to get on with people. I've been shaking hands with people at protests from other groups, and we help other people with their electioneering. Let that be completely clear. Now, let's get in to some talk about these elections, right? And let's talk about how these elections went. Now, I would say at the moment, there is more in the press about immigration, demographics, asylum seekers, refugees than ever before. We've seen record numbers of people out at nakedly ethno-nationalist protests. You would think that the conditions are ripe for local election victory. Also, yesterday's turnout was the lowest that I can recall ever seeing. I remember when I was in the BNP in the mid-2000s, you know, about 2006, 2007, the local election results were usually around 30 to 40%. Yesterday, many different council wards returned results with around 25% on average voting, sometimes a little bit less, sometimes a little bit more. Usually, a very low turnout in elections is a recipe for nationalists to get elected. And I always remember Hope Not Hate and Searchlight magazine always complaining that when there was a low turnout, that would let fascists in via the back door. Yet despite that low turnout, despite the seeming groundswell of support for an anti-immigration movement, every party, right of centre, seemed to have a disastrous day. Now, that is not me slating the people who put in hard work. I absolutely commend, endorse, and praise every single person who went out leafleting, who went out canvassing, who worked to spread a nationalist message and stand candidates at that election, at yesterday's election. I praise them, I'd shake them by the hand, and I can't speak highly enough of them. They are not bad people, they are not fools, they were doing the right thing. But their results were very disappointing. there's around, depending on what source you look at, there's between about 19 and 22,000 council seats up and down Britain, depending on the source you look at. And let's say, for sake of argument and ease of calculation, there's 20,000. Yesterday, when the polls opened, nationalists, as in ethno-nationalist groups, groups that talk about race and ethnicity, held one of those 20,000 seats. By midday today, there wasn't a single seat held by an ethno-nationalist group. And not only did the ethno-nationalist groups poll not particularly well, but so did Reform and UKIP. They polled very poorly. So despite there being a low turnout, despite there being more people turning up to protest, this didn't result in better votes. Now, there have been some good individual performances. Ashley Simon from Britain First must be commended. She put in a lot of hard work. They actually knocked on doors. They were canvassing. They were leafleting. They put in a proper campaign. And she got, I think it was 19% coming second. That is highly commendable. I'm not knocking her. Great effort, Ashley. Well done to you and Paul. You put in a good, good show. But despite the fact she took 19% and took around 400 votes, the Labour Party, who won that seat, took over 1,200, three times as many votes as she did. So she was, you know, the only candidate I saw around the country who stood on a nationalist ticket who came second. Yet her vote was a third of that of the winning party. Julian Leppert, who is a great man, he's been to PA events, I've known him for years, he's a hard-working nationalist. He stood in Epping Forest District Council, where he was a sitting councillor, and he went from taking first place 4 years ago to coming third behind both Tories and Labour. And I don't think that's a reflection on Julian. He's a wonderful guy, and he's a lifelong nationalist. I'm not slating these people. But what I am saying is, the landscape for elections, despite many thinking it was favourable, did not return favourable results for any of the nationalist parties who stood. Now, I want to be really clear, so don't anyone misquote me. Do I think we should ditch elections? No, I don't. I still think we should do that because I still think there are places in this country where we can win council seats and where we can do local community politics, engage with people and win. But remember, never in the history of this country have we had a single MP elected on a nationalist ticket. And many people say, because of our first past the post system, because of a system which has not proportional representation like they have in places like France or places like Germany, it's a much harder battle for us. So what do I think? Well, I think people put in a lot of hard work. I commend them, but I think the results don't match up with the work that was put in. And that is disappointing. And I praise all those who stood and all the activists who helped them, whether they're PA activists or not. And I definitely think Britain First did a really, really good job. But they've shown us how difficult this is. So what's my solution? My solution is we should do everything we can when we think we can win an election. And we should definitely exploit that route to power. However, and this is a massive caveat, remember, we need more strings to our bow than just elections. Now, a small number of people left PA in a huff, and have acted appallingly. And I'll tell you this now. One of their major gripes was PA should solely be a face-out, using real names, electoral machine. I do not believe that. I do not believe the only route is elections. The definition of insanity is doing exactly the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. Now, nationalists have been doing that since the late 1960s. And the best nationalists have ever achieved is two MEPs, which is impossible again because of the European Parliament, one GLA member, which is impossible again because of the demographics of London, and 56 councillors and one county councillor out of those 20,000 councillors. And that was achieved when the Nationalist Party of the day was turning over, on average, over the 5 years, 2016 to 2010, £1 million a year. Now, I'm not saying it's now impossible, but what I am saying is that we need more strings to our bow. that people who don't want to do elections should be allowed to advocate for our people through other means, be that demonstrations, be that legal advocacy, or be that just setting up social, family, group events, litter picks, help the homeless. There are a lot of things people can do without elections. And I don't believe that simply being an electioneering party is the right way forward. We have to do more things than that. And we have to be a real community. And PA was set up to be that community building event and that party and to do those kind of events. And I'll tell you, any of these people who are saying horrific things about me and behaving appallingly, I'd debate them on this issue because I've got the facts and I've just given you the facts. And those facts can't be argued with because you can look them up online. And if people want to go out and smash their face into a brick wall and stand again and again and again and keep getting between 2 and 5% every time, that's up to them. And I know what people will say. People say, oh, well, we can get these local parish councillors and community councillors and people who are beneath the level of district councillor, but they're meant to be non-political. They don't have any legislative power. And they are a great step up. They are a great step up, but they're not actual proper councillors. The most any nationalist party's ever had is 56 councillors and one county councillor. And some of the areas where that party held those seats, Burnley, Barking and Dagenham, we probably could never win seats again because of the ethnic shift. I think we need to be doing more things. I think we need to have more strings to our bow. And I think we need to start thinking outside the box for the survival of our people. I don't think just repeating or trying to repeat what the BNP did or the National Front did before them is the right thing. And if you look at parties like For Britain, which had a great degree of funding, they closed up last year. Why? Because it didn't work out, because they just did the electoral politics. Now, we will keep trying to be registered with the Electoral Commission. We will keep assisting nationalists who stand in elections. We will keep supporting a drive to get people elected. But we will still keep doing the socials, the fitness, the community building, the litter picks, the help the homeless, conferences, camps. We will still keep helping young people with their CVs. We will still keep passing people over and providing them legal help from trained solicitors and barristers. We'll do all of those things because those things are absolutely important. And anybody who disagrees with me, why don't you do everyone here a favour? Stop maligning me, stop maligning PA, and show us how it's done. Show us how it's done. Because I'll tell you what, unless a nationalist party gets between 1,000 and 2,000 seats at local elections, so 5 to 10% of the elected seats across the UK, because that's what you're going to need to really affect change, to really change people's lives. Because I'll tell you something else, and this is a black pill, but it's true. And if you can't take the truth, I'm sorry, but this is the truth. I know people who are lone councillors in places like Halifax, in places like Leeds. They were great people. They were friends of mine and they were staunch nationalists. But I'll tell you something now. They were boxed in. They were a lone councillor amongst 30, 40, in Leeds, nearly 100 other councillors who refused to work with them, refused to even talk to them. And they locked them out of any form of power. And those people spent 4 years helping people with dog poop bins and helping people fix their garden gates. And those things are important. Those things are really important on a local level. But none of those sacrifices those men made stop their areas becoming multicultural areas, stop the breakup of their communities. And that's a bit of a black pill. And that's why I'm saying community first. I would like to pour more time and effort into teaching people how to grow their own vegetables. I would like to pour. Imagine if the BNP's £5 million that they spent on all those councillors, or 56 of them, and those MEPs, was in my hands today And I bought a giant patch of land and built a new build estate on it in the middle of a, you know, with a meadow to one side and a little bit of forest to the other. And we were all living in the same area. There are people out there using new and untested means of building a resistance for our people. And I want to explore all that too. I want to explore helping people. Woodlander's in the chat. He's talking about getting people together to buy a patch of land so we've all got somewhere to go. I'm, you know, imagine if the BNP had spent its 5 million on a patch of land and put Woodlander in charge. We'd have something to show for it all. Now all we have is memories and some old copies of election leaflets to reminisce over. And again, I'm not saying elections are totally pointless, but we need a multifaceted approach. And I want to deal with another criticism while I'm at it, because I'm on one. People who are angry that we talk about film reviews, popular culture, computer games and all that, and are seething and acting like babies. Oh, if you want to watch computer game streams, you know what? We stream computer games for 2 hours a month, right? On a Sunday night. No one's electioneering on a Sunday night. 2 hours of doing something different.
You mean to tell me that you play video games for 2 hours a month on your day off? How dare you do that? We need to get rid of you right now.
Exactly.
That's a stupid argument. 2 hours a month on a Sunday night. That's it. I mean, what should we do on a Sunday night instead? Does it really matter?
Well, I'll tell you something else. There's YouTube channels out there, like The Critical Drinker, that is getting millions and millions and millions of views talking about wokeness in films. That's called the culture war. The Quartering gets millions and millions and millions of views talking about wokeness in gaming. There's other content creators getting millions of views talking about wokeness in sci-fi, wokeness and multiracialism in comic books. These are millions of young men and women who are watching their culture being eroded. And all of a sudden, a clique of electioneering zealots want to tell me that I can't reach out to those people, that I can't talk to those people. Remember when we were gaming on YouTube and tens of thousands of people watched the streams and we had a ton of new young signups? We weren't doing it as our sole focus, but we were reaching out to people in the culture war. Moving the Overton window by talking about what's happening in movies, games, comics, popular culture. I have this lady messaging me and she loves period dramas. She loves period dramas. I've been having a lovely chat with her and she's appalled that every period drama has a black man inserted into it. Should we just ignore those people? Of course we shouldn't. This is more than elections. It's about the survival of our people. It's about building a community. It's about a culture war. It's about a war of ideologies. It's about moving the Overton window. And when I went and met those people, those black men from the Domino podcast, we got on really well. That's reaching out to more people and making more of an impact than getting 270 votes in a ward as a one-off ever will. And again, that's not to say electioneering is pointless, but it all needs to be balanced. It all needs to be measured. And I hope people understand that. That's why PA became the fastest growing, the largest and the most dynamic nationalist movement this country has seen in decades. It didn't become all of that because we decided to bash our face against a concrete block and do the same thing over and over again, ignoring the failures of the past. And I'm going to tell you something now. Well, I'm not going to tell you it because Laura hasn't said much, but she's got something to tell you. And I'm going to tell you this. Okay. We've grown so big that we've eclipsed every other nationalist movement in the UK, even the civic nationalist ones. And Laura's going to give you the facts. How well is our website been doing, Laura? Give everyone a rundown.
Do you want to get the graphic up? I sent it to you on Telegram.
I know you sent it on Telegram. I was in full on speechy mode. So
yeah,
I've.
He was in ranting mode. Yeah, I just.
We don't use the word rant, Laura. That's not the word we use.
I do. I just want to echo everything that Mark said. Patriotic Alternative are and have always been a radical and revolutionary movement. We're not an organisation that wants to play the hand that our enemy has given us and just take part in our enemy's system, a system which is set up to leave us ineffective. We want to create our own system. We want to create our own future. We don't want to just play by their rules. We want to make our own rules. This should not be surprising to anyone. This is what we have said from the start. And our focus has to be on building a community, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But if we have a network of talented people, if we're self-sufficient and we don't have to rely on anyone, then we'll be okay. We will be okay. But if we don't have a community, and if we just, you know, are these atomized individuals scattered across the country standing in the odd election, then we might not be okay. In fact, we probably won't be. I mean, with regards to content as well, so much of what we see is anti-white. Even the adverts between the shows are anti-white. All we're doing is providing a bit of a what's a word beginning with A, where it's like a medicine? Like what?
Antidote.
I was going to say anecdote. What a novel. We're providing an antidote to that, where when you turn on your computer for 2 hours or 4 hours a week, it's not much. You can listen to something where the people are the same as you and feel like you're not alone. So you can hear people talking about a film once a month for 2 hours and critiquing that film from a nationalist perspective. And it's good to have alternative content out there that isn't just anti-white, that isn't propaganda, that you can relax while you're listening to it or watching it, because you know it's not trying to brainwash you into race mixing or something. And obviously that's not our number one focus. We are an IRL movement. We're the most active nationalist organization in the whole country. That is our priority. It's very, very hard work to be an activist, more hard work than it is to be a content creator, but we still do create a bit of content on the side. And I love the fact that PA is an organization that says, to hell with your rules, we're going to create our own rules, we're going to create our own future. So yeah, I agree with everything that Mark said. And with regards to the website traffic, we haven't looked at these for a while, so I was a little bit like, how are we doing? But we got the figures for the whole of March, and as you can see, so these are website visitors for March 2023, and as you can see, in number one position, Patriotic Alternative have the best performing website out of all the dissident/nationalist/patriotic parties. We've beat Reform, UKIP, Britain First, BNP, British Democrats, British Freedom Party, and the English Democrats as well. I mean, Reform are all over the TV and they're allowed on Twitter. They're all over the press all the time, and still we're getting more traffic than they are. So what we're doing is working. You know, we're getting people's attention. They're coming to us. We're getting more registrations on the website than we've ever had. It is working. And obviously we're putting something out there that people are interested in. So we're going to keep doing that.
And you know what else? Over the past few months, and I'm going to be very honest about this because I'm sort of, you know, taking the gloves off to a degree. And I'm going to say this. I've been put into a bad position for probably the last 6 months by people around me who pecked my head on a daily basis not to be involved with certain people, not to engage with certain people, to not let certain people help. And I'm throwing this out tonight. Me and Laura had a very different vision for what our website should be from those people who have left. We want it to be a lot more dynamic, a lot more outward facing, and we want new writers. We want a daily news section full of the mainstream news, but written up from a nationalist perspective. And if you're a passionate writer and you want to write that stuff and you want to be a PA writer and part of the PA writing team, you don't have to be vetted. You don't have to give us your inside leg measurement. Just send us an email with your articles in them. And if they're up to scratch, we'll get them on the website under the news section. There's no more of this. We have to know where you live, where you went to school, and what your last three meals were to allow you to write an article or make a comment on our site. If you want to write articles for us and you don't want to be face out, you don't want to dox yourself, that's cool. Come forward and help us with the website. We're going to have three sections on the website going forward. We're going to have national news, local activism, and ideology, or long reads, which are more sort of in-depth opinion pieces. And that gives everyone, that gives something for everybody. And we want to do these things, and we want to get PA back to being the accepting, friendly, positive movement it was when it started out. Without this us and them nonsense, we don't want wars with e-celebs. We don't want people attacking content creators. We don't want people being branded as sort of slackers or wimps because they won't go face out or because they won't hand over, you know, their passport, driver's license and birth certificate. We want people to help us in the way that they feel comfortable helping us. And if people take 6 to 12 months to come out of their shell and feel more comfortable about helping us before they buy in a little bit more, that's cool. There's no judgment. And we want to take things back to when this movement was a lot more open, positive, accept and accepting. And we acknowledge that people can play a part in this movement in a number of different ways. And however you help this movement, whether it's attending demos, whether it's leafleting, whether it's writing articles, whether it's producing beautiful artwork, whether it's litter picks, whether it's homeless outreach, however you help this movement, it's valued and it's important. This is like a jigsaw picture. It's a big puzzle and every piece is different. And I didn't like the direction. One of the reasons we had this little splinter group break off is because I didn't like the direction that they wanted PA to go in. I didn't like the idea of maligning people because, you know, they weren't doing it their way. I don't want to call somebody a slacker because he doesn't want to dox himself. I understand there's lots of young, and I certainly don't think young men under the age of 21 should be using necessarily their own names and faces. You know, young people who are unsure of where they're going in their life, throw themselves into nationalism. I don't want them ruining their lives. If it takes them a couple of years to feel comfortable and know where they're going, let them do that. I think this nonsense that everyone has to throw themselves face first into this cause doesn't work for everyone. I'm not forcing people to do that. I felt that was wrong. That was one of the issues behind the scenes. And ultimately, you know, I hope people understand what I'm saying, because I want to build a more dynamic and more accepting movement. And I hope everyone understands where I'm coming from. We want nationalist unity. We want acceptance. And we acknowledge that not everyone's the same and that different people have different sensibilities about what they can provide. So there's also been a lot of rumors going around. Firstly, was that no one likes PA. We'll debunk that with the website. And another one of these rumors going around is that, you know, all your regional organisers have left. Everybody has gone. Nobody likes PA anymore. Well, in the last month, we've already set up a group on the Isle of Man, which we never had before. We've been doing all this nationalist outreach with different groups. We've been helping with electioneering, which debunks another lie. We've set up an active group in Northern Ireland. So you can now email northernireland@patrioticalternative.org.uk. But we've also got a raft of new regional organisers who want Patriotic Alternative to be more open, more accepting, and basically back to what it was. So we're going to bring three of these people on now. When I say we've got a raft of new organisers, they're not all here tonight. They're not all here tonight. Couldn't all make it. But three of them are. So let's introduce them one by one, starting with Aaron from the Southwest. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Pleasure to be here.
So Aaron is our new regional organiser for PA Southwest. We're very, very excited that he's our regional organiser. Me and Mark wanted him in a leadership position a long time ago, and you've absolutely risen to the occasion. You've already held a number of events in the Southwest. And tell us about your offices, because you had 5 offices and you've now got 7. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. We've got a new fitness guy and a new events organiser as well. They're doing really well. My events guy has already organised the next like 2 months of stuff. He's just running away with it.
And I hear that you've already made your plans for Indigenous Peoples Day as well.
Yeah, that's all planned out. I'm looking at a drone, getting a drone for that, because that's not something we had before. So hopefully we'll get some very good shots of that. And we've already picked our spot and I've lined up all the camera angles. It's all planned out. We just need to go and do it.
Oh, exciting. I can't wait to see that. Have you got any questions, Mark, as well? I don't want to take over, sorry.
No. I've been doing a lot of talking, so I like to let Laura do the interviews, because otherwise it's just me droning on for an hour and a half. And if people wanted to see that, well, they could watch one of my other streams.
Well, that's what your Odyssey channel's for.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for, just to drone on for everyone's amusement. But no, look, Aaron, we've known you for a long time. There was a bit of a conflict about who was going to be the regional organiser in the Southwest. You and myself and Laura wanted to pick you. You've been doing a great job. And there's been all these sort of rumours swirling that we've got no officers left in the Southwest. But by the end of this month, you'd got things so shipshape. We've actually got more officers now in the Southwest than we did before the little splinter group broke away. So you've sort of whipped everything into shape and you're doing this with great confidence. And I did say people don't have to be face out, but you obviously are. Do you want to give us just a bit of a taster of what you've got planned or anything you've got going on in the future? Because I've already seen you've been doing litter picks and hikes and the Southwest has, well, I don't think I've ever seen this much activity out of the Southwest.
Yeah, it's good. It's not that difficult. I've got a great team of people behind me. And a lot of it is like with the litter picks, for example, it's just one person will notice a particular street or a lay-by or a path out in the woods somewhere that people have been dumping litter on. And they'll just go and do it. You know, it's not difficult. You go for a walk, you take a bin bag with you. And there's a little one of those little litter picking arm things. I don't know what they're actually called. But yeah, it's so easy to do so much. Like with the homeless outreach, again, it's actually very easy. You don't need to even plan anything because you can see homeless people in your own city just walking around. Just buy them something, right? There are plenty of cafes around. Just get them a coffee and something hot to eat, and there you go, mate. There's something hot to eat today. That might be the only hot thing they eat that day. And it's just so easy to do so much good.
How would you say that your region are feeling at the moment? Because one of the issues that we had was the previous regional organizer wouldn't allow us to like come and engage with your region, you know, and be in the chats and stuff and get to know you. And he stepped away and we were like, right, let us in the chats. We want to talk to you. And it was great to see that everyone else had stayed and you'd stayed and all the officers had stayed. Obviously, as we've said, you've appointed two more officers, so you've now got seven. But what's the feeling in your region at the moment? Because from what I'm seeing in the chat, people seem enthusiastic and engaged, and it just feels like a really friendly, like optimistic place. Have I got the vibe right?
Yes, you have. It's a very chilled region down the southwest. It's still one of the whiter areas of the country, barring sort of Bristol, really. I think that's the worst of it. And people are pretty much just carrying on as usual. Obviously, the RO left. But that's pretty much it, really. It's just, we're just carrying on.
That's what you've got okay. to do, isn't it? You can't.
Yeah. Keep calm and carry on. Right?
Very British.
Keep calm and keep organising. Well, look, thanks a lot for joining us, Aaron. We've got a range of regional organisers coming on now. We look forward to working with you in the future. And we might as well announce it now because we're having a raft of big announcements. But we are going to be coming and visiting different regions to meet the local activists, to meet the organisers. So even though the Southwest is a right trek, we hope to be down there seeing you soon and do something special with you guys. So
it is the best part of the country.
Laura will argue with you on that one.
We're going to start.
She can argue all she likes. She doesn't make a right.
Don't you start. You'll be going next.
Well, look, thank you for joining us, Aaron. And I look forward to working with you more in the future.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, the next new regional organizer of the night is a big guy with a big beard who has a big show. It is Chief Moody in Scotland. Hello, my e-celeb chum. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I thought Joe would have been next, but oh, I don't know if I gave that away already. Sorry.
You wouldn't invite him to a surprise birthday party, would you?
No, I wouldn't, to be fair. I would definitely kind of give that away accidentally. But anyway, no, honestly, it's great to be on here just now. And it was quite a surprise based on all the stuff that happened. But just the fact that I've been selected as the new regional organizer for PA Scotland, I mean, yeah, it's a great opportunity. So can't wait to see how that goes.
Well, you've been amazing. And obviously you spoke at one of the conferences about a year ago now. I thought your speech was brilliant. It was really authentic and relatable for a lot of people, you know, speaking about your journey into nationalism. And you've just been so consistent, you know, you're always there at the protests, you're always there leafleting, but then you're a friendly, approachable face online as well. So you were a perfect choice. And we have struggled in Scotland, you know, just to be completely transparent with everyone who's listening. Scotland is the region for us which is going to be the hardest to mend. And the reason why is because, unfortunately, the chats, the PA Scotland chats that we had on Telegram were never handed back to us. I believe that those chats were actually destroyed and everyone was removed from them. And also when we got the database back from Scotland, there were complete columns deleted and also complete lines of people as well. So it's been really, really hard to find everyone in Scotland and, you know, just say, have you heard our side of the story? Are you still with PA? We're still finding new people every day at the moment. So Scotland is a bit of a mess for us, unfortunately. However, we are prevailing and we're going to rebuild PA Scotland again. You know, there's a lot of people behind the scenes that I've spoke to who are still very, very friendly with Patriotic Alternative. But what do you envision for your region, Chief Moody? What would you like to do and what are our plans? I understand that's quite an intense question, but what would you like to see happen?
Well, yeah, I do agree that it's going to be a bit of a challenge at the moment, considering of again what's been happening for the past couple of weeks. But for me, I think it's a case of we're just going to slowly but surely build up PA Scotland again, because I think it would be such a complete waste to just have it completely be disbanded based off of almost everybody completely leaving and moved over to the other group. Because again, even prior to that, we've done a lot of great work. I know a lot of the guys at the time did Ben Nevis. I wasn't there, so I can't exactly brag with regard to that. we did a lot of good stuff, especially during the White Lives Matter events during the summer. I remember even last year, all of us were in Glasgow putting up the White Lives Matter boards or placards on the statues. I mean, really good stuff. Even got reported on the news for that. So I think for me, I tend to see this at the moment as it was an end of an era, but it can also be viewed as a dawn of a new era for PA Scotland. And for me, I think it's a case of we're going to slowly but surely build it back up again, get as many people to join PA Scotland once again. Again, we're just also going to be doing a lot more like leafleting, doing banner drops, hiking. We can also do that and also encourage again with the fitness stuff as well, what we used to do back then. Just really just continue on the work we did prior to what happened. And I think even for this year's White Lives Matter event, again, depends on what happened. I got an idea on what I want to do. And for some of the guys that are still in PA Scotland, I would encourage them to maybe try and do something similar. It doesn't have to be like major or anything like that at all, but it could just be something small or just have a board or like a booklet that says White Lives Matter next to a statue or like a historical building or monument, whatever. But it could definitely just be something like that, really. So yeah, I think it's a case of we're gonna build it bit by bit, and again, just not lose any hope with it and just continue moving forward.
And we are still getting lots of inquiries for Scotland. I mean, obviously, Scotland is a country, so it's one of the regions, if you can call it that, that we do get a lot of inquiries from. And we're taking new people through the vetting system at the moment, and then they're joining PA Scotland. So that region will continue to grow, but it will be predominantly fresh faces, whereas with the rest of the regions below Scotland, obviously, you know, the vast majority of people are still there. But with Scotland, it will be like, almost apart from like, what is it, 6 people I think we've got, it will be entirely new in Scotland. But yeah, it's a good opportunity. And thank you so much for stepping up and also for, you know, thinking for yourself and reaching out. Yeah. Anything from you, Matt?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks for this, because I know that certain people have tried to pressure you and been a bit sort of mean to you about the fact that you've come over. We really appreciate, well, stayed with us and not jumped overboard. I'm really happy you're still here. You gave a great speech at the Southern Conference. You've been somebody who, you know, we all admire your mood of the nation. We all admire your steadfastness in you're always doing something good. You've always got a smile on your face. You always produce engaging content. And I really look forward to spending more time with you and working with you more closely. Thanks for everything, Chief. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
No worries. Well, thank you very much.
Next
for having
time
me
we invite
on.
You on, you're coming on last so you don't ruin future.
No worries. I'll keep that in mind.
Thanks, Steve.
Also, just before I leave, just one last thing before I go. In regards to, again, some of the people pressure me and all of that to the other group, I just also want to say, again, just for the record, I hold no ill will towards any of those guys or anything like that at all. I mean, I know they keep saying to me, like, oh, you know, if you come over to our group, you'd be welcome along, which I appreciate that. For me, I offer the same to those guys as well. If they want to come back for whatever reason, they're welcome to come back. Anything that's been said and done would be water under the bridge type of idea. So just thought, again, just throw that out there. But again, thank you very much for having me on, and I'll see you guys in the near future. So
thank you so much.
Thank you.
And our last big surprise that isn't such a surprise is the one and only, the indomitable new Welsh organiser. You always have been the Welsh organiser. This guy got forced out by people who have now left us. He's back with a bang. It's Big Joe. How are you doing, mate?
I'm okay. How's it going?
It's good to have you back, Joe.
Yeah, well, I've always been here. I haven't been anywhere, have I?
No, but you are the rightful King of Wales, and when you weren't holding the crown officially, we didn't like that.
Yeah, well, I'm back now, like, so. And the thing is like, we haven't got time to mess about. You know, especially here in Wales, we're just, like, the attacks are coming from all angles. You know, we've got, like, this Welsh government, they're just literally out of control. So we haven't got time to be messing about and arguing and fighting and all the rest of it. We just need to get on with it, like, you know. And we've had a lot of people out. We've had a few activities lately. And, you know, for us, nothing's really changed, you know.
Well, it has changed in one way, Joe. Bigger. More people attending events.
Yeah, right. Well, we went to Caerphilly last week. And we normally get like 5 or 6 people out. We had 10 out for that, you know. So, and it was really good because we didn't know there was a market on and it was massively busy. And we got these 15-minute city leaflets and we just walked through the market, giving them out. And we had no hostility whatsoever. We had loads of people taking the leaflets. I mean, a lot of people don't even know what the 15-minute city thing is. They've never heard of it. You know, this is how stupid some of the people that in this country are. They're literally sheep. They're just walking around. They haven't got a clue. But, like, we had a lot of people stop and chat with us. And, you know, it was a really good day. We gave out hundreds of leaflets. And then we did a banner drop. And that was really good. So it's business as usual for us down here. We got events planned for this weekend, but I won't say what it is because, you know, we haven't done it yet. But, yeah, we're still going and we're going strong.
And how was it in Long Eaton? Was that your first protest speech?
Yeah, first public speech. It was all right. I mean, like, you know, it's like I always like do videos and talk on streams and all that. I just never stood up in front of a crowd like that. But like, it wasn't really much of a crowd because most of the locals couldn't join us because that mob of hostiles there, you know. But yeah, it was all right, you know. I'll do it again. Like I wasn't prepped for it, and it was all a little bit last minute, wasn't it? But I think we got away with it.
Yeah. Like I said at the start, my speech that I wrote, I completely changed it because of the situation that we were in. So I think a lot of people just got up and adapted. Oh, and here's your leaflets that you handed out last weekend.
Yeah. They're really good, they are. It's like, that's like, if you can see it, it's a city in a cage, like a bird cage, you know? And, like, it's not just that down here, see? We've got, in September, it's going to be 20 miles an hour. Everywhere that is now 30 miles an hour in Wales will be 20 miles an hour in September, as well as this. As well as that, they're talking about introducing congestion charges to, like, Cardiff, Swansea. And they're saying, oh, don't worry, it'll only be £2. You know, like it's £12.50 in London. It'll be £2 until it's accepted and acknowledged and people have not kicked off about it. Then it'll be a fiver. Then it'll be a tenner, you know? And as well as that, I mean, like to drive around Wales now, It's like at 30 miles an hour, it's a nightmare. And it's going to be 20. And like, I've been in a car with people and I've said, this is what 20 miles an hour feels like. Your car is screaming because it wants to go up a gear. You know, it's just honestly. And this Welsh government, they're just like, and then they're taking all the statues away. Then they're putting all these gay rainbows in. We've just got, it's like a multi-pronged attack. And it's just like, we literally ain't, you know, we could have a couple of hundred activists and we still wouldn't have enough. Because we need to be everywhere, you know? But, you know, we're out. We've got people out doing things all the time. And we've got a really good team. And we've had a few new inquiries and a few people who weren't happy with the level of vetting before have come forward again now. And they're getting active. So, you know, and these are people I've known for years who've been active in other nationalist groups as well. So they don't really need to be vetted because I know them. You know what I mean? So, and it's like when we did the Lanswit demo, we had about like, you know, 8-10 lads there who were, you know, good lads who I've known all my life. But they would never hand over their details to anybody. But they don't need to because I know them and I know that they're sound. And if they weren't there in Lanswit, we would have been in trouble, you know? So,
yeah, as I say, people away from leafleting sessions and public events that we've known for decades to appease one man who wanted to collect everyone's information and store it is never happening again.
Yeah, well, I think we'll get more because, when I first took over as RO, I had like, we had 155 inquiries. And when I was emailing them saying, right, you need to give me this and that, they were either saying, like, get lost, or I'd never hear from them again, you know, and we lost nearly all of them, you know, so I think it is too rigid and, it, you know, it'll be better now. It's not like if somebody comes completely out of the blue, obviously we're going to vet them, you know, but if they're people who have been around and we've known them for years, they're it's going to be minimal. So, and I think we'll get a lot more people on board. We've already had a few, you know, turn up and come back. So, you know, onwards and upwards, isn't it?
It's about being sensible. I mean, if you've got a protest, which is a public protest anyway, you know, the left know that we're going to be there because they're doing a counter protest. Just let people come, like a leafleting session as well. But then obviously you might have a more intimate event, like, I don't know, we had an Easter egg hunt in Yorkshire last month where we had quite a lot of children there, so I'd be more protective over that and, you know, wanting to make sure that everyone was in a circle before they get invited to something like that. But it's just about using common sense. If there are guys that you used to campaign with in another party, invite them to a public protest. Don't turn them away. That's just, to me, that's just absolutely mental. I've just never got that, to be honest.
Well, if it's a public protest, I mean, anyone can turn up, can they? And you want the numbers to turn up. So that's what it's supposed to be all about, you know? So, but yeah, it's like, that was good, that Long Eaton. It was a good day out, wasn't it? And we went to Kegworth as well, didn't we, after?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, those women were mad, weren't they?
Yeah. It's good, though, because, you know, like, the lefties were bussed in from East London. And, like, they knew the Kegworth one was on 15 minutes on the road, and they didn't go there. Probably because the coach driver wouldn't stop there. It's like straight back to East London, you know? It's the same faces on them lefty demos, same faces that were in Lanswit, you know? They're just like rent-a-mob. They're pathetic, really pathetic. And every time they say, ha, run out of town by the locals, you know? What, the locals from London, yeah. Okay, you know? Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, The ones in Lanswit telling us to get out of Lanswit with Bristol accents. It was ridiculous, you know? It's, you know, they're just a bust-in rent-a-mob because the locals want us there. And if it wasn't for that hostile mob in Long Eaton, we would have had quite a few more people there. We did have some locals break their way through the crowd, didn't we? Remember when they came through with, like, England flags and that? That was pretty epic, that was.
The only time I'd ever be embarrassed is if we turned up at a demonstration and the actual normal people in the town, not the left, but the normal people in the town who were sort of demonstrating against the migrants told us to go away. That'd be embarrassing. But having a group of busting lefties, you know, telling us to go away, that's just, that means nothing.
No, exactly. Who cares what they think anyway, isn't it? You know?
Indeed. Anyway, Joe, it's been great talking to you. We've got a few more minutes to cover before we go to questions and answers. It's great to have you back as the King of Wales, and I am sure the country of Wales will prosper under you like it has no other, my friend.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thank you, my friend. See you soon. Bye. So that brings us to the end of the new regional organisers that we're showcasing tonight. And I put the emphasis on showcasing tonight because we have more. And in areas, if you're in one of the areas and where you've been, had your nose pushed out of joint, you felt it was cliquey, you felt that you weren't allowed in, you felt that your efforts were being demeaned, this is now being run in the way I want it to be run. I'm not being told by other people how PA should be run. I had a vision of an accepting family-based community where everyone was valued. And that message, that motto is going above the front door now. That's what this is about. And anyone that doesn't like it, the small splinter of people that have left, that's up to them. But we're going to be that accepting big tent community movement. And I'm a big enough man to apologize when I get things wrong. I got it wrong when I allowed someone to turn PA into an us and them. I got it wrong when I allowed someone to alienate lifelong nationalists because they wouldn't give their inside leg measurement, even though they'd been my friends for over a decade. I got it wrong when I allowed regional organisers to demand that they did a home visit at, you know, single mums' houses and scared them away. They weren't the right policies to pursue. Now, yes, we do need some kind of vetting. Yes, we do need direction. But turning Britain's largest and best hope for survival into an exclusive clique where other people feel unwelcome, that's never happening again. And as I said, I'm a big enough man to apologize when I get things wrong. I was wrong to let people turn PA into that. It should have never strayed from what it was on those first few conferences when we had that massive amount of support from the wider nationalist community. And we're not letting that happen again. And I want to send a message out tonight. You can clip this out. You can put it wherever you want. If you were one of those people who was disrespected, if you were one of those people who felt that you couldn't be part of this, if you were one of those people who were made to feel small because you wouldn't go face out or you just wanted to write articles for the website or make art or make music or do something slightly different, you've got my apology. My hand's held out to you. Get back on board because this is going back to what it was meant to be. And I'll say this as well. This isn't some kind of clique or cult. If people want to leave, they can. That's up to them. I'm not holding anyone back. I'm not threatening anyone, you know, and if you leave and you like and you realize that the grass isn't greener, as long as you've not done anything horrific to us, you can always come back. And if you want to work with other groups, as long as it's not someone like Hope Not Hate, you know, if you want to work with another nationalist group, should I say, you're welcome to come and work with us as well. If you want to come to our camps, conferences, leafleting sessions, and you've helped somebody else leaflet or you're a member of another party, you're welcome to come to ours as well. And if you're coming to ours, but you want to go to the English Democrats conference or you want to help Britain First leaflet, you can do that too. You know why? Because I want everyone to be friends. And I realize that our differences are far smaller than some people like to make out. Our differences are small, but our similarities are huge. So I'm holding out a conciliatory hand of friendship. But one thing I am disappointed in is that of the small group that left, some of those people have damaged our local databases. They have deleted our data. Some of those people have taken local monies and decided that they're theirs. And some people have, unfortunately, vandalized or shut down some of our local Telegram groups, which is unfair and wrong. If anyone wants to go and start another group, that is up to them. But acting in bad faith and trying to harm this nationalist group as a way to elevate yourself is not a way a white man acts. It's not a way an honourable man acts. And it's not the way a true nationalist acts. Now, I'm not going to go into all the tittle-tattle and all the gossip. I'm not going to go into the worst things that some people have done. We're not turning this into a drama stream. But I want to reiterate, the small number of people who have chosen to take local funds away, who have vandalized our Telegram pages or shut down our Telegram groups, or who have deleted the data from our inquiry so that we can't get in touch with people who were desperate to get in touch with us, I believe that's unfair and is deeply, deeply dishonorable. So that is me drawing a line under it. This isn't going to be a gossip stream. This isn't going to be tittle-tattle. And I will be traveling around with Laura to these regional outreach events. And if people want to ask me questions there in person, or if people want to pick up the phone and know more, never again is anybody in this organization ever going to tell me I can't go in regional groups, that I can't speak to the officers, that I can't speak to the activists. I will be in those groups and my door is open to you. Many people call me or email me. And if you want to call me, if you want to email me, my email is mark@thefallofwesternman.com and my phone number, well, I'm not going to read that live on stream, but it's very easy to come up to get. It's on my Telegram profile. If you've private messaged me on Telegram, you've got my phone number. You can call me for a chat anytime. Many people do. And that is my commitment to moving this movement forward, being open, being accepting, and getting people on board. And we will move forward. We will keep building this movement. This is a bump in the road. We're over that bump. And I can guarantee you, several of the regions that people said were ruined have now got more officers installed in a matter of weeks, have got more activists on the ground, have been out electioneering, and have got a full schedule of events planned for the next 2 months. Watch this space, and don't say that I'm a liar. Don't malign me. Just watch this space, and over the next 2 months, you will see what we've got planned. And I trust, and trust me, if you're a real nationalist and you love this country and you love what we're doing in PA, you will love what comes next. I promise you. Right. So, Laura, I think we've announced and done everything. Do you want to do some questions and answers?
Sure. Did we announce the region? I suppose we kind of did. The regional.
Yeah, regional meetings. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we showed the 15-minute cities.
Yes. I would just say, if you go to the website and go to the regional contacts tab, we've got, so obviously, I won't go into it in too much depth, but the regions where the regional organiser left were obviously Scotland, which is a big job to fix. We had Wales, which is in a bit better position than it was before, with a new regional organiser. The South West, which is in a better position than it was before with a new regional organiser. And then we had the South East, where I believe out of around 50 people, the regional organiser and I think two other people left. However, that region now has more people than it had before, and it's got 7 officers in the southeast. We do need a regional organizer for the southeast, but the region is there functioning without a regional organizer because of the structure. And then that leaves us with the East Mids and the West Mids. Now, in the East Mids and the West Mids, the regional organizer and a number of officers left. However, in the East Mids, half of those officers have already come back to PA. And we have, I would say in the East Mids, more people have come back to PA over the last 3 weeks than were actually in the region last month. The region has grown by quite a lot because of people returning to PA. So the East Mids is going to be a big focus for us this month. And we've got some big events and big meetings happening in the East Mids. We do have a new regional organiser for the East Mids as well. And then the next thing we're going to be working on is the West Mids. So that's, it's not as big a problem as Scotland, but yeah. So the West Mids is next. But yeah, should we go through the questions then?
I hope that explains. Let us do these questions. Serena JB gave £5. Thank you so much, and said community-based nationalism shouldn't be underestimated. Onwards and upwards, Mark and Laura. Well, thank you so much, Serena. It's great to still have your support. Port Film Co-op, our good film reviewing buddy from Australia, said, gave $5. Thank you so much. Said, hey, Mark and Laura, keep up the good work. Thank you so much. He gave another $5. Thank you very much. She said, the democratic system will never allow true nationalism. It's a rigged system. Use it as a form of activism, but otherwise think outside of it for solutions. I love the buying land idea. So do I. And as I said earlier, I wish that £5 million that the BNP spent on elections had gone on buying some castle, you know, in Northumberland or something. So there was like nationalist castle where we could all have a little plot of land, grow vegetables, go there, have conferences. That would be amazing. I like to think outside the box. And I think as our demographic demise is hastened, we do need to think for alternative solutions more and more and more. And another thing to say about elections, if you look at elections, the best ever nationalist result in this country was actually Nick Griffin in Oldham in 2001. That was the best ever result, 16.4%. That's never been matched since. So for two decades, that's never been matched. And previously, the previous best, I think, was in 1976, I think. I might have got the year wrong, but it was a long time ago, and that was Martin Webster in West Bromwich, and he got 16.1%. So they're the best results nationalists have ever got, and they were one-offs. So thank you for that, Port Film. VM gave $5. Thank you so much. He said, given what PA have had to endure since its inception, most groups would have crumbled long ago. This is a testament to how resilient this community is, always open to support, who are making headways on local and national levels. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much. And look, I've got to say this. The most disappointing thing about this splinter group, and probably the most coincidental or weird thing about this, is PA were just rolling out a membership system, which has obviously been slightly delayed. PA had just held the two biggest ethno-nationalist demonstrations that had been held since the turn of the century in Britain. Obviously, there's been bigger demos in terms of CivNat stuff like EDL. But as ethno-nationalist demonstrations went, nakedly ethno-nationalists, as were the biggest, Skegness and Cannock. And to see people breaking away and trying to attack the group when we're achieving such milestones is very, very disappointing. I mean, how do you feel about that, Laura? I mean, you saw Skegness and Cannock. When PA were there, they were massive.
Yeah, Cannock was probably one of my favourite, probably top five moments in PA. Just when we walked out with our flags onto the square and there were like 500 people who gave us this massive cheer, the Cannock demo was absolutely amazing. And, you know, my thoughts on this whole thing, I've not really said anything public about it. I've answered a few questions in DMs because lots of people are asking us, you know, where's my ID? Where's my membership money? But I've not really said anything public about it. But I just feel like it's so unnecessary. Like, everyone was on this massive hype, having these massive demonstrations, people supporting us who would never have the balls to support us, articles being written about us. You go down to the comments and everyone's defending PA, everyone in YouTube comment sections defending PA, more inquiries than we'd ever had, a really busy packed schedule for the year, membership just about to be rolled out, the cards are on the way, by the way. And then I just feel like these people just came to us with all this negativity that was unnecessary. And obviously a few people have splintered off and gone and started their own thing. If that's what you want to do, whatever, wish you well. But we don't feel negative about PA and about nationalism and about our future. We feel positive. So it's always been, despite everything that we've had to deal with behind the scenes over the last few weeks, because there has been a lot of crappy behaviour towards us, we've just continued and we've worked through it and we've fixed things privately. And I think we've always remained professional. I think there are other people who have not behaved in a dignified way at all. And I would have personally have preferred to have kept the whole thing private instead of making things public and handing ammunition to, you know, Hope Not Hate, to the Reds, to the journalists. It's unforgivable that they know all this stuff about personal disagreements. It's just so unprofessional. But it's happened now. I think all we can do is move past it. And I do believe that we will be judged by our actions in the future and our successes in the future, not by a little bit of Telegram drama from the last few weeks. And like I said, you know, keep an eye out because we've got some really exciting things coming for May and June.
We have. Bill Biz gave $30. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, Mark and Laura, best wishes and support from the Pacific Northwest. Thank you very much. And we've got some chats over on Odyssey as well. 500 tokens from Stan One. Thank you so much. He said, maybe one day these magic beans might be worth a few, Bob. Hail PA, hail our folk. Thank you so much. James Carlson said, for $5, white papers, said, electioneering is incredibly important, but elections do not equal politics. We have to remember to separate the political and the electoral. Nationalists are capable of doing amazing political actions and maneuvering without patriotic alternative constantly fielding electoral candidates? Well, exactly. More strings to our bow, the better. Max Anderson gave $5. Thank you so much. And said, PA's idea is very forward thinking. It is like building a fully seaworthy ship. You build the ship first, then set sail. Then you can set the political direction and not the other way around. This is how the town of Urania thinks. Well, that's another good point. Look at the most white positive place in the world. It's a place in South Africa. They didn't win elections. They bought their own land and set up their own state. And now there are thousands of white families living in a white positive Africana city or town called Urania, where they have their own culture, their own way of life. They're safe. They've got their own hospitals. You know what? That is a beautiful thing. That's thinking outside the box. Now, if those Afrikaners had simply stood for election again and again and again against the ANC, they'd have lost. Do you know why? Demographics. We have to be honest about these things, guys. And that's not to say elections are pointless. I said that earlier. But there are lots of examples from around the world that show us that there are alternative routes. And we need to explore all of those routes for the good of our people. Five Odyssey tokens from Beer Hall Pooch. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, tonight, PA's position has been music to my ears. Thank the gods, Mark and Laura, are in charge of this outfit. Revolution, not reaction. Thank you so much. And British Gammon gave $20. Thank you for your generosity, my friend. He said, keep up the great work, Mark and Laura and everyone at PA. Well, we certainly will be doing, my friend. And we have some non-paid super chats. Trevor said, hi, Mark. What is the next step regarding registering PA at the Electoral Commission? Can you canvass supporters on whether we should fundraise for taking the Electoral Commission to court? We did actually have a sizable sum of money that was being built up with PA that could have been used for that. And, you know, unfortunately, we've had this little hiccup and those funds aren't now available to us, unfortunately. However, we will be building up our war chest again. And when we do that, we will look towards legal action. Isle of Lewis Grill. Thank you so much, my friend. He said, funny you should mention Woodlander was involved in the BNP in the John Tyndall days. I didn't know that. Thank you. Rupert Weasley said, will there still be a membership rollout? Yes, we've been pushed back by really, it was all going to be out. It would have all been out in April, which was the planned month to launch it. Unfortunately, it is now going to be this month. We have some lovely snazzy cards winging their way to our membership department. We have some other membership stuff. We've built up a little bit of once myself and Laura took the sort of reins again, we've beefed up the membership pack. It's a lot nicer than it was going to be. We look forward to getting them out to you. And keep your eyes peeled, because by the next monthly update, everybody in the country will be able to join. We're still testing the form. If you are in one of our vetted groups, you can help us test that form. You can still sign up. And very soon, there's going to be a mass rollout. So look out for that. An Isle of Lewis Grill said, hi, Mark. Any plans for a PA kebab making competition? You could give bonus points for people who can make a king sized portion. I don't know. I think you'd need quite a lot of different equipment to start making kebabs. Maybe there could be a PA kebab eating competition. I think I'd put myself forward for that. And some of the little things that we had planned, like the chess competition got pushed back because of all of this drama. But all of these things will come to the fore. That's why we don't have people. Patriot is still with us, obviously. You know, he's a great friend of mine. But, you know, people have been all hands on deck, you know, keeping the good ship PA sailing forward. And some of the smaller things we were planning to do, some of the community things. You see, this is the sort of resistance I faced. You know, I wanted to do a chess tournament. And what did I get from some people? Noses turned up. Why do you want to do a chess tournament? This is nonsense. You know, what's that going to achieve? Loads of people wanted to do a chess tournament. I still want to do one. I'm going to put somebody else in charge of running it. We'll get that sorted. I'm looking forward to it, but it just won't be this month, which is when it was going to start. And it won't be this month because some people tried to stop it happening, but it's definitely going to happen now. So don't worry, lots of fun things planned. So Laura, that brings us to the end of the stream. It's been a great stream. Thank you to Laura. Thank you to everybody who's tuned in and donated so generously. Please share this stream. Please send the message to other nationalists who might have felt that they weren't welcome at PA anymore. Things are different now. get involved, help us any way you can. And if you need me, email me, get my phone number, call me, and I'll tell you all about this or attend one of our forthcoming regional meetings. I'd love to shake your hand in person. Laura, I'll give you the last word before I play us out with our Welsh video, because Big Joe, now he's King of Wales again. He's not only pumping out a record number of leaflets, he's not only doubled numbers of activists on the street, but he's also been making videos about his superb work. So don't shoot off yet, because there's still a great bit of activism to show you. Laura, you have the final word, my dear.
Yes. Well, I just want to finish by saying, on top of everything that we've reported on this stream and on top of everything that we've been dealing with behind the scenes, we have had a very busy month of activism. Obviously, we've not gone through what every region has done on this stream. However, if you go to our Telegram channel and if you go to our website, you can see all the activity, homeless outreach, stuff to do with the alternative curriculum, leafleting, flash demos, banner drops, fitness session, everything is all on our Telegram channel. We're more active than we've ever been. There was one weekend this month, well, April, where the Northwest, so one region, had 12 separate events in one weekend. That's just one region. We're out in 12 different places in that region. That's how busy we are at the moment. But yeah, sorry, we had so much to report tonight, we couldn't go through it all, but go check out our Telegram channel. I just want to say thank you to everyone for being here. I expected a lot of drama questions at the end. There's no drama. Everyone's over it. I was prepared for all them. But yeah, thanks for being here. Love to you all. Come and get involved with Patriotic Alternative if you're not at the moment. And I'll be back on Monday with Sam for a new Tea Time with Sam and Laura video. But yeah, have a nice weekend, everyone, and enjoy your parties if you go to a party. Take care.
Thank you to everyone. I love you all. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our side of the story. And remember, me and Laura, we're here for you no matter what. We're not giving in. We're not throwing the towel. We're not letting a small number of wreckers ruin this great organization. We're not letting them break up our family or our community. We're going to go from strength to strength. We're going to keep on fighting. And one way or another, we are going to build the biggest, most dynamic, most open, most accepting, and most wonderful nationalist community in the whole world. 3 years ago, we started a fire and no one's going to put it out. Thank you for being with us. I really, really hope you like this final piece of activism. Here it is. Joe Marsh, take it away, my friend.
There's an old man shaking, trying to step off of a curb in a way that'll leave his bones and organs undisturbed. Newspapers flying on the poisonous breeze as the town's and tries to get up off its knees. It's a crapshoot as they pillage and loot and send German shepherds snapping at your heels in hot pursuit. But don't you worry about it, don't pay it any mind. They keep it all confined behind a poverty line.
We're in Caerphilly today, PA Wales, handing out these leaflets warning about the 15-minute cities. So there's quite a few of us here. We've handed out a few hundred already. We've had a good response from the public. So there's the leaflet, kid.
Don't your chances get fewer when you're stuck out in the rain? You take what you get and you don't complain. To them you ain't nothing but a piece of dust. We'll be right back. placid graveyard of the poverty.